Nick, we are going to do a money series at a time when many New Zealanders are really struggling with how to manage mortgages and high interest rates and debt and just the horrors of what have gone on in New Zealand. What's made you very competent with money? You're someone I've talked to over the holidays, and you're very good with money, aren't you? Have you always been that way?
I think so. We grew up with nothing, really. We were quite poor when we were younger, so I think if we wanted to have something, we had to come up with creative ways to get it, right? So I've probably adopted most of those strategies again into my adult life, and if I wanted to have something, or you need to come up with a creative way to go and get it. So yeah, the 9 to 5 just doesn't cut it anymore, right? So yeah.
There's a lot that we're going to cover, and I'm teasing that at the beginning of this interview because this interview today is actually about something that many Kiwis are struggling with, and that's the way our banks in New Zealand are treating us, the customer. What's the bank story that you have? Which bank?
Yeah, so ANZ is obviously the topic of today's story. It's basically, in my opinion, an abuse of power of what sort of happened. And then, of course, being familiar with the industry, I know all the steps to take. And then, so we've taken all those steps to date, and we still have any good of outcome. So then what do you do, right?
And this is so important for Kiwis who, I get many emails from Kiwis saying, I'm feeling bullied by my bank. I'm feeling small and powerless because of the way the bank is treating me. They've picked on the wrong guy with you, Nick. And I think that this story will give a lot of other Kiwis hope. So start right from the beginning. What happened with the ANZ? How good a customer were you?
Yeah, sure. So a pretty good customer, being with ANZ for a long period of time. I operate two companies, not as a flex, but you know, we transacted over $5.5 million over the last 2 years with ANZ. And then they decided early to mid last year that there was a couple of transactions that they didn't like, and they were small transactions. I think the discrepancy was about $9,000, and they launched initially they came and said, you know, this is a due diligence under the AML and Counterterrorism Act. So obviously that already puts you on the back foot, right? So
AML, for people who are not familiar with that dark phrase, is anti-money laundering.
That's correct.
It has entered all our lives. We're all being treated as if we're sort of covert terrorists lurking out here in New Zealand. It's ridiculous. Yep. What do you think of AML?
Yeah, I think it's not as necessary as what they make it out to be. So you're basically subjected to it in every move you make now. So whether you're at the bank, you're purchasing a property, real estate agents need to do AML, any investments external from the bank, AML. So it's very, very in-depth.
Does it feel to you like more of that government overreach into our lives to say, I want to know all the details about your privacy, Nick or Liz? I want to know everything that's going on. Hello, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you.
Yeah, that's
obviously Reagan said those are the worst words
the worst
to ever
words
use.
To hear, yeah.
But does it feel like that to you, more invasion?
Yeah, it does. I think, you know, if I was a different race, you know, that would definitely be bullying, racism, whatever else you want to sort of put on it. But at the same time, it is definitely, it's prying into your life, right? Like would you say spying?
I would.
Yeah.
I would. And I'd say spying/tyranny because it's government overreach to me. We'll get back to that in our future series. So here you had a 9,000 supposed issue that they wanted explained against $5+ million that you've been working with the bank with an exemplary record.
Yep.
What did you say when they came after you?
Yeah, so basically we complied. We sent everything through. The discrepancy was over cryptocurrency. Of course, that banks don't love cryptocurrency. We sent them through all the documentation. At the time, we were doing our financial statements, so we couldn't provide them by their due date. So there was a reason behind that, a financially responsible reason behind that, and they wouldn't take that for an answer. So basically from there, the only avenue we had to place a complaint internal with ANZ to at least get that date pushed out, so we could comply with the financial statements that they required.
So they wanted it by a certain time deadline.
Yep.
You had your people doing the work, but
yes.
it, it was too much to do in the time frame.
It was, just because we're moving structures and stuff like that. Mm. It was just part of good business, right? So, you know, companies were being moved into trust and things like that for asset protection, obviously, which is completely legal. There's nothing wrong with that.
So you asked for an extension and the bank says no. On what grounds, Nick?
No, they came, yeah, you're absolutely right. They came up with their date, and if you cannot comply by this date, and the email that they send you is, if you do not comply by this date, we will close all your accounts and you'll be forced to move your banking elsewhere.
But just to clarify, you had applied as a human being, I just need a little bit more time.
Correct.
I will do it. This is a bank that's meant to be a service for the customer.
That's right.
And we've got a bank acting, I don't know, like Jacinda Ardern saying you'll have the jab by this time. It's like a very tyrannical, you will do what I want, and I don't care whether you're my customer or not.
No, they don't care because, I mean, you know, $7.3 million of profit, a billion with a B, of profit per annum that, of course, you know, goes offshore. You know, what's $5.2 million of transactions going to do over that? It's not a thing, right? And, of course, like we speak about, nobody ever gets heard when these things happen to them. So,
if a million of us moved our business from the ANZ elsewhere to a bank that would honour us as customers, then they would care. I mean, that's what it's coming down to.
Yeah, it definitely does. You definitely need to know. Like, it's not a case of just banking with Westpac or ANZ or anything like that these days because you've been with them for a long period of time. You need to interview the banks as well. So if this happens, what will you respond? If that happens, what will you respond? Because you don't want to end up in this situation. It takes a lot of time now. We've had to relocate all our banking, all our transactions, of course, disappeared when they closed down the account.
Well, I'm going to get to your story. I'm just going off into some of the issues as you raise it,
right,
because this is really important to bring people with us. So we've got a bank here dictating to a very, very good customer as if you've been a very bad customer, bullying you, being extremely disrespectful and not giving you any kind of voice, a ridiculous deadline and no humanity. That's what I'm getting so far.
Yeah.
Anything with that you don't agree with?
No, that's accurate.
Okay, so it's a pretty horrible picture so far. So they said comply by this date
that's
or
right.
We'll shut you down. And what happened?
So we needed to get the extension. That was cool. So obviously I'm aware of the process. So the next process is to place a complaint with the ANZ Bank itself.
That's what you did?
Yes. I followed the process.
So they actually shut you down by that stage or no?
Not yet.
All right, so you put a complaint. Who with?
First step is to place a complaint with the ANZ Bank itself, and then they are supposed to investigate it and deal with it before you take it to the next step.
Yeah.
However, that didn't happen either. So the person that was supposed to deal with the complaint didn't do anything about the complaint. They, in fact, picked up the file and came back at me with the exact same scenario as the team that was doing the initial investigation. Yeah, so he didn't do his job.
Saying no, you'll do it by this date, Nick.
Correct.
Yep. Or we'll shut it down.
You need to supply this information by this date, or your accounts will be shut down.
You're really used to dealing with banks and commercial matters and money. How are you feeling by this point? Were you feeling anxious, panicked by the bank, bullied by them, or just plain angry?
It's a box ticking exercise over at their end, right? Where they don't really care about the person. It's just more of a box ticking exercise. Have you done this and this and this? The problem is it gets also passed around to multiple hands. So by the time the person that was supposed to investigate the complaint had the file, well, he didn't even know what had already been done. So he came back with the original file and it was like starting a game. So it was just kind of over and over and over. So no awareness of what had already been completed, no awareness of, you know, his job basically, and just carried on the process to get their AML and counterterrorism boxes checked.
It makes you feel very, very small. It makes you feel like the whole thing's so impersonal. They have all these ads saying, bank with ANZ, we really care about you. They don't.
No. Customer loyalty, like obviously we'll touch on that in the money series where someone will call up and say, I really want to stay with ANZ, I've been with them for 13 years. And I can quite happily say to them, ANZ is not the best bank for you when you're acquiring lending, we need to move you here for these, you know, whatever reasons. I know they've been loyal to them, they do do not care about you. Yeah, you are literally a number. Gone are the days where you know the bank manager in the branch, right? Gone are those days that don't even exist.
Gone, but not forgotten. And you know, Nick, when I was on the tour for pre-election for Loyal, I would say to the crowds, who would love a bank, a Loyal bank? And the whole room would erupt. People really want that Loyal feeling from a bank manager again, that being able to walk into a bank and talk to a face that cares.
Yeah.
A lot of Kiwis want that.
Well, people want, I don't know if people actually know what they want when it comes to banking, but transparency is probably a good start. Because people don't understand when they've, got $10,000 sitting in the bank, what's actually happening to that money. And, you know, when the New Zealand branch, I guess, of ANZ kicks out a $7.3 billion profit for a year, they're like, what?
I know.
Yeah.
With all of our money. Can you give us, as an aside, a little bit of an overview of that? We'll go into it more in future, but just a bit of an idea for people who have no idea how the bank works.
Yeah, sure. So basically, if you deposit, $10,000 into the bank, well, the bank can use that money, right? Like, that's technically theirs to lend out. They also have what they call reserve fractional banking, where, they only need to hold a certain amount of cash in the bank, and they can lend against it. So your $10,000 is lent out multiple times out into the community, often being charged at personal loan, 16%, credit card, 13% if it's a low rate, 19% if it's a higher rate. So mortgage rates is the biggest problem at the moment, where, they're 7%, say, for example, and people are getting wrecked, basically, because they can't afford it. But the banks are making huge amounts of profit. So, yeah, that's definitely something that needs
to be invested. It's so gross. And of that $10,000 I put into the bank that's now lent out by the bank and they profit from it, I don't get that.
No, you'll be lucky to get anything. And that depends on what account it's in. If it's in a general savings account, probably 2%. Term investment, 4% to maybe I saw one the other day for a 5.5%, I think. So 5.5%, and that's per annum, right? So on $10,000, not much.
This is such an important interview with you because it's raising so many things people are not aware of but need to be. Banking is a disgustingly exploitative system. That I can say as a starting point. That's where you'd need to begin. It's exploiting all of us. Not only that, they used to be polite and pretend they cared. Now they're not even pretending and they're being rude and they're being bullying. So let's get back to your story. So yes, you made the complaint and the banking person comes back and goes, tell me again. So it makes you feel like nobody's listening to you at all.
Yep.
You have to go through it again.
Yeah, so what explaining happened? Everything to these people is a nightmare. And the person that was supposed to be dealing with the complaint wasn't. And can't get a one-on-one with them. They don't want to sit with you, right? So these people are very, very big and tough behind the keyboard. But you can't go in there and have a one-on-one meeting. I requested that multiple times and was declined.
What reason do they give?
Oh, they just said, no, we don't do one-on-one meetings. I was like, well, this is very important. I need to come in and have a one-on-one meeting. No.
Could you go into your local ANZ branch and demand to see someone?
You can into a branch, but you're only seeing the branch manager. These people are from different teams up in the buildings, right? So they're behind the scenes where all the teams.
So the branch manager would say to you in the branch, you'll have to go to the people, the faceless, nameless ANZ bureaucrats.
Yeah,
this is the same pattern with the government. We've got the people up front. We've got masses of faceless, nameless bureaucrats in government. This is becoming an MO, a modus operandi of so many organisations.
Yeah, it's definitely a pattern.
It's disgusting. Okay, so now you're feeling angry, frustrated? What are you feeling?
Not unexpected, because I am familiar with the systems. And, a lot of these people in these places are, they're employees, right? And I do not hate against employees by any means. It's hard out there, right? Like, you're out there making money and stuff like that. However, an employee that doesn't really understand business, they shouldn't really be dealing with businesses, and that's a problem. So if they can't understand basic financial literacy around businesses and external companies, well, they shouldn't be dealing with them anyway. So that's a problem.
Did you meet someone like that in the
Well, these guys
online
clearly didn't understand that. Well, they didn't, right? These are part of a due diligence team. So whatever their backgrounds are, we don't really know. But at the same time, if I can deliver three reasons why we cannot meet this criteria by this date, that should be good enough.
Yes.
Yeah, it should
Especially when they look at your record. You're an exemplary client.
Yeah.
Can we name anybody? Because it does help to put a face to the nameless ones?
Yeah, so the complaints person was, of course, his name was Eugene. I can't pronounce his last name, but Eugene was that person. But I mean, that was only the complaints, right? So the head of the due diligence team is James Willis, and he was the one, like, you know, round two, that was the biggest problem.
What did he do, Nick? What happened?
Yeah, after you put in the complaint with the ANZ, then you have to move to the banking ombudsman, and that's round two, basically. So they will investigate the complaint. They'll see what is liable, who's liable for what. Through that process, everything's on hold. So we had to do that. We had no option anyway, because our financial statements, which were the last criteria that they required, had not yet been completed. So ombudsman starts investigating. They talk to each other and see what's going on and decide what the outcome would be.
This James guy and the ombudsman.
James Willis is the head of the due diligence department.
Right.
Yeah, they have another name for it. It's EOCD or something like that. I can't remember what it stands for. Acronyms are the bank's best friend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They can hide behind more.
Yeah.
So, but he was talking to the ombudsman by then?
So he took over basically after the ombudsman investigation, but he was the head of the team, and I did request him pick up the file right at the start because I wanted to deal with the top tier person.
Absolutely.
Because in theory, the top tier person has more experience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so unfortunately this wasn't the case this time around, so...
And you could tell he just did not understand the business practices.
Well, by the time we got back to him, it wasn't so much of whether he understand, but he already had it. Now he's got a bee in his bonnet, right? Because, you know, when we put a complaint in with the ombudsman, it costs money.
Yeah.
So
it costs them money.
Yeah, yeah, it costs the bank. So
that goes on his record.
Well, it's not. I'm not too sure because I'm not part of that network what it would cost, but it'd be in the tens.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10K by the time someone's been investigated.
And let's remember here, all this took was somebody in the bank to care enough about a customer to say, Nick, we'll give you a few more weeks.
Yeah.
This is all we needed.
That's it.
And it's being elevated and elevated because it feels to me like someone's ego is now involved.
Yeah, well, that's where we're at now. So after the ombudsman investigation,
anything come out of the ombudsman?
No, nothing came out of it, which was very disappointing.
What did he say?
So the ombudsman came back and sided with the bank and saying, you must comply. And I said, we're okay complying. That was not the argument. The argument was the bullying, the specific date, the not allowing you to, you know,
appeal.
Complete those tasks, appeal, the complaints process at the ANZ needed to be investigated as well, because the complaints person, Eugene, picked up the file and came at me like he was one of the team. That's not your job. Your job is to investigate the complaints and try and smooth it over before it goes to the ombudsman.
Absolutely. So there's this pattern of endemic bullying. They get their way and they like to get their way.
Well, most people haven't heard of the ombudsman anyway. So it is in their fine print, right? So every financial institution has to make disclose the complaints process, which you will find at the bottom of the page in the fine print everywhere, right? So, and then the process is never disclosed without, unless you know about it, you might not even end up at the ombudsman because people just don't know about it.
What's his name, the banking ombudsman?
Well, that's an organisation, so...
Did you have a head one?
There was a guy, and he was very good when we started. His name was Mr. Nick Flores, and he started off, we probably spent about an hour talking over the case together. What happened after that and inside the investigation, I don't know, because when the report came back, it was just completely wrong. So in the report, it states that I was a cryptocurrency trading company operator or something. I'm like, how did anyone get to that?
That's crazy. Like, could you go back to him and say your report report is flawed?
Yeah, the report is flawed. They escalated it, but it was came back like literally 24 hours later and said, no, we're sticking with our original.
Pattern, my God, Nick. So by now, you're having to put hours and hours and hours just into getting a voice heard. The many, many Kiwis will relate to this. A total waste of your time.
Yeah.
And just being stymied at every turn where you try to get a bit of humanity.
Yeah.
So then what happens?
So basically they came back and sided with the bank and said, you must comply. And nobody ever said we were not going to comply with it. All we wanted was I think we needed about another 4 to 6 weeks to get everything done what we wanted, which what's the big deal, right? Keeping in mind, this is only over a discrepancy of about $9,000 worth of cryptocurrency.
My God.
But it's the purchase of the cryptocurrency, right? So... anyway, so they came back, they said you can have 2 more weeks after this, so this was actually enough time for us to have the financial statements done. We submitted the financial statements with the basically attached to a statement saying everything is now completed, full and final settlement, done. We're done. Mm. But we weren't done.
Were you very stressed by this time? I mean, you're a pretty cool guy. I imagine that you're okay under pressure because dealing with money, you have to be. But was this putting a lot of stress on you by now?
I mean, yeah, it's just one of those processes, and I deal with the stuff all day, so it wasn't too bad. But it's frustrating, right?
Really frustrating.
Yeah, and especially when you're dealing with people that just get a bee in their bonnet or whatever you want to call that and run with it.
I said at the beginning I've had a lot of emails about banking abuse. But I particularly wanted you because of that sang-froid, that sort of cool head you've got, that you, it would take a lot to get you riled up, you're reasonable, you're willing to go the extra mile, but you want to be treated with respect and as a human being who matters. We all matter. Okay, what happened next with our friend James? Yeah. What was his name?
James Willis. You just want the system to work how it's supposed to work, right? Yeah. Like it shouldn't be bent. To protect somebody, whether they are, you know, a junior employee of somebody higher up or any of those kind of things, you just want the system to work. So, yeah, basically James Willis refused to review the case all the way back to the start where every single item that they requested had already been provided. And I have an email that states that the only thing outstanding is the 2023 financial statements. So we have that. I forwarded that to James. I said, look, this is everything's already done. Go back to the file, find everything in there, tick it off. Here's your financial statements. That's it. We're done. But he decided, no, we weren't done. And he needed to, well, he basically was requesting information that cannot exist. It actually does not exist. So he was asking for financial statements from a cryptocurrency exchange. It's an exchange. Their financial statements themselves don't exist any further than like a CSV statement. And that's actually, ironically, what they requested. So they told me what they wanted. That was provided. But by this time, you know, I've already cost him money. It's a kind of his fault that it's gone this far. And now he's got an attitude about it. So yeah.
So you get the feeling it's become, we could say, personal. His ego is activated now.
It definitely is. Like again, no personal meetings, wouldn't meet in person, any of those kind of things. He has all the information there, and it's his entire discrepancy to shut it down. So
he's got all this power.
He's got way too much power.
And his ego is activated.
Exactly.
He's meant to be in a position that listens to the public, and he's not.
Yeah.
This is a pretty vulnerable, horrible place to be in. I think a lot of people will recognize this. Mm. It's really important that we expose these sorts of, they get carried away with a little bit of power, but they often don't have the kind of intellectual firepower to see the bigger picture or to see this is a stupid thing I'm doing. Because it takes intelligence to get off your ego.
I do
find that in life. Nick, are you by now getting worried that your money's, your account is looking very vulnerable? Are you wanting to get away from the ANZ by now?
Fast forward again from that. So James Willis decided that was it. Mm. He refused to engage via conversation and email. I actually have an email from him stating this will be our final word on it.
And at this stage in the story, are you feeling really jittery about even being with the ANZ? Have you lost trust by this stage in your story with the ANZ? Have you thought, I don't want to be in this bank?
Yeah. So that's actually a very good question because the ANZ, well, all banks are chopped up into little departments, right? Mm. So if you're talking, like you say, you go into the bank manager, they might have to make 3 or 4 calls to find the right department to speak to help you with your problem. I don't have a problem with ANZ as a whole, as opposed to this department and this person is probably the main thing. Mm. But again, they're operating under the ANZ banner, so, you know, that's...
It does implicate the bank big time.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
All right, so what happens with James? What does he do next?
Yeah, so basically we've provided all the information. No future correspondence from after he said we will not speak on this again.
And he said that?
Yeah, in his email, yeah. We will not speak on it again.
We will not speak on this again.
That was
He's meant to
statement.
Be in a customer service
customer
position.
Customer service position, yes.
So he knows the customer's really unhappy.
Yes.
He knows you've gone above and beyond.
Yes.
And he's like, what, a little school teacher in a little boy's school going, I'll give you a whipping if you come back. This is arrogance in extreme.
Yeah. The problem is, again, like, he's the manager of the department. How he got there, I have no idea. Then where do you go next? Because, like, the departments are so segmented, you can't go to the next level with it. I don't even know where to go to the next level. So the new complaint, well, basically, rewind, he decided, on the email states that the information must have been provided by the 31st of January. But on the morning of the 31st of January, all my accounts went dead.
They just everything. Cut them?
Yep. At 8:30 a.m. before the bank opens, everything went dead. So
he didn't even give you a chance to go to the 5 o'clock that day to provide this unreasonable information he was seeking.
Exactly.
He did it before the deadline of the day.
He did it before the deadline, yep. So before the deadline, and then, yeah, nothing worked. So, yeah.
That is a man sending a message. Look at me. Look at the power 100%. I've got. Yep. I can just bully you and get away with it.
Yep, and exactly that. I can do whatever I want.
I've got to say here, ANZ, you are now the marker for a lot of Kiwis. I want New Zealanders to write to ANZ, to write to this man, and to write to the head of ANZ, and we'll put the addresses up on screen, to say, look at this video, look at this story. You have got to have a consequence so that this stops across all banks in New Zealand. And this is the story, the seminal story that will really rile people up. You've got to start serving your customers. Nick, this is from my heart. What would be your message to the ANZ? Look down that camera. What would be your message to James if he was standing in this room? And I've often said this with Jacinda Ardern. Let's pretend James finally has the courage and decency to meet you. And you look him in the face down that camera.
Yeah.
And you picture him there and you say, James, what would it be?
James, you need to resign. Resign for your from your position. Clearly you have no skills to be there. You have no personal skills. You have no business skills. You do not belong in that position. You need to go. ANZ, this person needs to go.
And what would you like in terms of the bank now putting right this horrific bullying, freezing your account for absolutely no wrongdoing whatsoever?
Yeah, so once the accounts were seized, I have to give a shout out to his name is Chris in the Northwest branch of ANZ, who like worked literally tirelessly. So if you want to, you know, talk about the costs again, I think Chris probably put 2-3 hours worth into trying to fix my account, trying to find my money that James sent into oblivion, and have that returned to me as well. So, you know, with the bad comes the good as well. So
that's amazing. Quick message to Chris. What would you say, Chris?
Chris, you've done a great job. Really appreciate your work. Yeah, definitely.
So there it is. There's somebody who's really holding up his end of the bargain as a bank employee. And we give praise where it's due. What did you mean your money went into
oblivion? Yeah.
Oblivion.
So
what happened?
So basically what happened was James, going back to James again, he failed to send an email out prior to closing the accounts. He sent it afterwards. So A, he could say that he sent it, but B, it was no good to me by the time I collected it. So that was stating that your accounts will be closed and this is how to deal with it. Yeah, exactly. So we didn't get that till after the fact. So we have all the times and dates and obviously the visits to ANZ as well in that morning. But what they basically do is they take your money, any monies that are sitting in a bank account when they're closed, and they send them off into what they call a bank-owned account for distribution. But instead of being able to withdraw it then and there, 5 to 7 business days.
And it's their mistake. It's their wrongdoing. They should not have shut those accounts.
Well, it's James's mistake, and then it's bank process, right? So once you fall into bank process, you're in bank process. So that's already documented. It is what it is, but it's because James didn't send the email out. He wasn't even aware of the process. He actually stated to Chris on the phone that I can go in and withdraw it from the bank, which was not true because it was off in oblivion. So James, again, you don't understand your processes.
That is shocking. Now we get to the payoff. Can you go to a lawyer? Can you sue the bank? Can you get compensation for bullying, for very, very poor service, for misuse of your funds? Yeah. It's misappropriation of your funds, really.
Yeah. So I have spoken to a couple of solicitors and they're actually quite interested in it because everyone wants to battle the big guy, right? So especially with a bit of a slam dunk. So all of the information basically states that James was in the wrong. Unfortunately, James was operating underneath the ANZ banner at the time. So, you know, he's bringing shame to the name.
I think at the very least, the ANZ needs to make you a substantial offer of recompense for all that they have put you through. Where is the account now? Is it still frozen? And what's happened to
them? No, the money has now been distributed, thanks again to Chris at the ANZ Northwest branch. And so that money has been distributed back out into an external bank account.
But you've gone to another bank?
Yeah, absolutely. So as soon as I started, we moved to another bank. As soon as I met James Willis,
terrible.
When you meet someone, it's just going to be a bad time. So, no, we moved. We started transacting immediately with a different provider.
So you know what my next question is. Who's a good bank? Which is a good bank?
Well, I mean, I know we'll touch on this in the money series, is to spread, go across
a
multitude of banks. Unfortunately, the problem, one of the main problems I had with this is that there are only 5 main banks in New Zealand, right? That's it. You have to transact through a bank. There's no way around it. You can't get your wages or your salary paid out to you in cash anymore. That doesn't happen. It has to go into a bank. So yeah, that's a problem. Like, you know, these little things should be dealt with correctly so that, you know, it doesn't spiral out of control.
So what comes out of this, Nick? What would you like to see? Say you were the Prime Minister and you had all these complaints from Kiwis. I hate banks. I hate the way they treat me and my family. What would you do? What would be an imaginative way to deal with it?
Yeah.
Open it up to more small banks?
We definitely need more competition in New Zealand.
Yeah.
I would allow America in, that probably won't be a popular statement, but yeah, we need more competition.
Couldn't we have more New Zealand banks instead of letting corrupt America in?
Well, that's the problem, is like the profit always goes out offshore, right? Well, all our banks are Australian owned, Westpac, ANZ, ASB. Kiwi Bank is here, of course. Same again, dealing with them in branch is a pleasant experience. So actually dealing with Kiwi Bank in general is a pleasant experience. And then you've got your smaller banks, your TSBs and your co-ops and stuff like that, but, you know, no branches, fewer people and things like that as well. Bank of India, Bank of China, good banks to deal with also. But again, no branches, things like that. So you've got all those problems.
They're making it really unpleasant. I hate the way they shut down all these branches during COVID. It's all this herding. We'll herd you online. Everyone talks about the CBDC. We'll talk about that in our series.
Yeah.
The central bank digital currency, which could be introduced. I get the sense I'm just being pushed, funneled, where I don't want to go. I want to be able to go into a local bank, bank manager who knows my name and I know his.
Yeah.
I really want personal service. I know a lot of Kiwis do, and I want cash. I want cash. I don't want digital.
Yeah, well, cash, like, people forget about cash, right? It's hard to get now. There are not many ATM machines available.
I know they're
in the mall. There are a few, but not like they used to be. Any cash transactions, or cash withdrawals, you if you're going for lending, you have to justify them, especially if they're consistent. So there is an eyeball on it, definitely on cash and control. And that was one of my other problems, was going back to the James Willis scenario, is they had access to all my bank accounts. They could see what I bought. Including, you know, cars and where I live, they can see everything. So if somebody has got a bit of a hate on for someone because they've got more than what they have, or they're doing quite well in life and, you know, they're sitting behind a desk, you know, that's the human element, right?
So you're right. You could, we're not saying this guy is, but the scenario could be a petty, small-minded guy with frustrated about his miserable life, sees a successful guy out there and decides to have a go. That scenario could play out.
Yeah.
We hope that that isn't James, but James here has clearly signaled that he was not up to the task of treating a customer with respect.
Yeah.
Would you ever go back to ANZ?
It's not that I would or wouldn't. I would if James was not in that position and I never had to deal with him again.
And if they reached out to you with an apology?
That would be the bare minimum. Yeah,
100%. What would you like from them?
Ironically, Eugene offered me $200 to go away. Yeah, I told him to add some zeros to that.
$200?
Well, that doesn't even cover the cost of me fast-tracking the financial statement.
Oh,
it doesn't cost any of the cost.
Insulting.
I think, you know, James was upset about me costing them money. I think they've probably cost me at least half of that, and I'm only a small person, and I wasn't investigated. So, you know, it would have been more than that, actually, fast-tracking financials and a whole bunch of other time that we spent on it.
Yeah.
So I'd probably be in the hole for maybe not actually, but probably, maybe five to 10, somewhere there.
Yeah. Yep. So something reasonable, an apology, and I think a sign that they've listened. And this guy who's, you're not going to be the first or the last person he bullies. You're not going to be the first or the last person.
No, I'd say
he
does it on a daily basis. Yeah, yeah. And we see it in all of, a lot of those positions. I don't want to focus or talk about any other government departments, but, if you're operating underneath a large banner that you don't think you can be hurt, you can do whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
But,
so accountability, Nick, what were you going to say?
But basically, this would have never have happened. One-on-one appointment.
Yep.
Walked in. Opened
Explained.
Up my box, which I did.
Yeah.
Here's the scenario. Here's what you want to see. That's it. Tick the box. I've done nothing wrong. In fact, their team said you've done nothing wrong. We're actually not even looking for anything. It's a box ticking exercise. So all the boxes were ticked. So why are we here?
It is shocking.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, listening to your story for other people who want to know how to deal with banks, what jumped out at me, Nick, was you are fastidious, it seems, with record keeping. Keep your emails, every communication with the bank. I would say any phone calls, record them with those bank people if you ever get to talk to them by phone. Any other hints like that? Because it seems like you had very good records.
Yeah, it basically, you sort of covered it. Keep all the records, especially if you end up in a situation like this. Always comply. Like if you just turn around and say no, then of course they're going to kick you out. So comply with, their wishes.
Stay calm.
Stay calm. Business Don't yell at anyone. I haven't yelled at anyone.
I bet you wanted to.
Not really, because why would you, right? Like it's
exactly.
just like, I mean, you could yell at a brick wall, right? That's exactly what this was like. So maintain your records. Definitely keep in touch with your records. And keep all those intact, and then know the processes. So if you do need to put a complaint in, 100% put a complaint in. So the process for complaint is obviously start with the bank, and then they should deal with that in an appropriate manner.
So you just went on the website, looked up complaints, found the...
Yeah, you literally Google it and it sends the email address. You write out, draft your complaint, send any evidence in. If you don't get any joy there, then you are able to go to the banking ombudsman, and you can just Google that again, banking ombudsman, forward the complaint to them. And then the final stage is the FMA. So we haven't spoken about that yet. We're not there yet.
We'll come to that. The Mr. Flaws, ironically, what a name, the banking ombudsman you dealt with showed a very flawed banking ombudsman process. What would you say to the banking ombudsman from your experience?
Yeah, so we've actually gone back to the ombudsman now because they dealt with part one and they did mess up the story and they did say we need to comply, which was fine. That wasn't the problem. But
well, it's not fine because it wasn't true. You didn't need to comply. You were clear of things, weren't you? Oh, no, it was to comply, but you just wanted the time extension.
Correct.
Right, I was going further on.
Yeah, which was okay, but my actual complaint was that the complaint wasn't dealt with properly. So now we've gone back a second time because of the outcome.
Yes.
So they will have to be reinvestigated. So unfortunately, James is going to have to go for round two. And then if we don't get a desirable outcome from there, then we go to the FMA.
So the second round is where he was making you comply with things you did not need to comply with
that had already
that you
been
had
complied
provided with.
Yeah.
That you had provided.
Yeah.
It's in stages, your story, isn't it?
It really is very much stages. But
that pushing you to comply with things you'd already given and then not listening to you and then freezing the account should show the banking ombudsman the level of irrationality that he wasn't listening to you.
Yeah.
He wasn't giving any kind of service.
Yeah, well, a lot of these people, obviously this is a good case where they're quite short-sighted, right? They don't understand that you can go back again because something else has happened. So we can go back and replay. So that's the case anyway. So once the ombudsman investigates this again, we'll see what the outcome will be. If it, again, is a non-desirable outcome and flawed, we can take it to the FMA.
FMA, just briefly, what does that involve?
FMA is like, it's the Financial Markets Authority, so it's the overall, right? Like if you end up in the FMA, you're in trouble, basically. You don't want to be there. Yeah,
that's for the bank.
Well, that's for anyone that has a financial license. Yeah, you don't want to be at the FMA.
What I love, Nick, I love your quiet consistency and you're dogged. You're not going to be put off this. What has made you so dogged and determined and clear about your path you're on?
Well, I mean, I'm in the financial industry, right? If I pulled these, I call them shenanigans, I'd be done.
Absolutely.
And of course, this is putting my license at risk as well, because, you know, you know, talking about the banks. But this is a personal matter, not
happened,
a business matter.
We would do a follow-up interview, because that would 100%. Be clear bullying.
Yeah.
And that cannot happen. But yeah, what's making you dogged? What's making you so determined?
It's just the systems that are in place. They're in place for a reason. And it's the bad apple in the, you know, in the mix, right? So you just...
If he keeps doing this and people just shrug and comply with him, he will get worse. So this interview is a real shot across the bow to all of the Jameses, because they'll be one of them in a lot of these organizations that have got too much power in the hands of one man or woman. What else? Let's game it out. What else do you think could happen? Do you think they could try to intimidate you in other ways, go after you in other ways?
Yeah. Basically, what will happen from here is... bringing the bank into disrepute is the word. That's not supposed to be done by anyone in our industry, so that's going to cause a problem without a doubt. But
what is that all about? You mean they can do anything? This is like the medical fraternity. You can do anything, just don't say out loud that this is wrong.
Exactly.
Because you'll bring us all into disrepute.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
is creating a very weak country of liars and people hiding information.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been in the industry for some time now. I like to say that, you know, we never, when we're dealing with people, we never drive off the road, right? We always stay on the road. We always, it's about being creative in my industry and to get job deals done, basically. So we never break the rules, and I've never broken the rules. But I've been in trouble a multitude of times for calling people out on breaking the rules. So
it's
the same scenario. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I put you in the class of the honourable whistleblowers. We've got Barry, we've got Dan Picknell whistleblowing on the corruptions in the police. And I think your courage, being willing to whistleblow about corruption within a bank that symbolises a lot of corruption and bullying across our financial institutions who are giving Kiwis who are desperate a hard time, I think it's really commendable, Nick.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest problem at the moment. We've got, you know, a record high interest rates in the last however long, 40 years or whatever. Well, not 40 years, but, you know, when you take it down to, you know, the value of people's mortgages versus the interest rates, we're at the highest we've been in quite some time. We've got people that are struggling to make their mortgages. We've got a whole bunch of mortgages that haven't rolled off the twos and threes yet into the sixes and sevens. We've got over 20,000 New Zealanders that are actually behind in their mortgages. So, you know, I'm subject to that information on a daily basis, and it's frightening. It scares me. And it doesn't scare me from the fact that, you know, the bank's going to come and get me. It's like, what is going to happen to these people when they can't pay their mortgages? But, you know, in saying that, like, you know, with the bad comes the good too. So, you know, there are a lot of people inside the institutions that are there to help, you know, with hardship and things like that as well. So
we'll talk about all of that in our series coming up. And for people who want to write to Nick with questions, you can write care of liz.gunn@freenz.org, and in the byline at the top just say for Nick. I'm going to be a little bit careful because I'm worried you'll get inundated.
No, that's fine, because generally the questions are all the same. There's 5 to 10 different questions that people will ask. So what we could do potentially is, if we get a whole bunch of questions, we can just kind of filter through them.
Group
and
them.
then we can just answer them, you know, as a whole. It won't be specific to the people, but it will be specific generally to their problem.
That would be brilliant. And just a little addendum to this interview, Nick. There was a wonderful story when I first met you over Christmas. You said you used to go out to South Auckland and help families who were really struggling, and you'd find ways to reconfigure their money situations such that they got a lot of extra money. Unfortunately, what you found 6 months later, going back to check on them, they had often... Well, you tell us what happened.
I did. I wanted to change the world when I first started. So I've been in the industry about 6 years now. And the first 2 years I did spend out South Auckland. And I just wanted to try and make a change. But yeah, unfortunately, that wasn't the case. So we would help people with their, you know, sort of KiwiSavers, their life insurances and things like that, especially Māori Pacific Island families, because they're larger families, right? So if, you know, if something goes wrong, you want to make sure that they're in a
good
looked
position.
After in a good position, yeah. So, but yeah, again, in those lower socioeconomic areas, I guess. You know, you've got your money shops, your Aotea finances, your instant finances and all that, and they're out there charging people like 20 and 30% interest.
Parasitic, parasites.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to fight against. So, you know, consolidating debt and things like that, free up $500 a week for a family, which is good, but then because of a lack of financial education, they'll say, well, we've got 500, we can go and leverage that 10 times, and now they've got another $5,000 of debt.
You know, so they borrow at high interest rates maybe to get that new car, when if they'd just saved and saved, they could have got themselves out of that debt.
Yeah, that's basically
so it became discouraging. I never give up. I'm an eternal optimist.
Yeah.
If we make this on film, I think, you know, there are many Kiwis now across New Zealand starting to get into these deeply indebted situations. So let's, through our series, give them hope that there are ways to consolidate and get out and get savings.
There definitely is, and especially with large families where, you know, we do properties now where we might have a Pacific Island family and it's got mum, dad and two children and they all buy property together. They all live together, right? So they're very communal, which us YTs aren't. And yes, that's just such a gift.
Such
and
a beautiful way to
it
do
is,
it.
Yeah, 100%.
We can all learn from each other. We can all enhance each other. In 2024, Nick, I very much want to do stories that will get us out of the desperate, depressive stories of the last few years. I want to do ones that give hope to Kiwis. And money will give hope, a lot of hope.
It does, yeah. I mean, people say money is not everything, but if you don't have it, it is everything.
It is.
Yeah, that's...
So let's do our series.
Yeah, all right, sounds
wonderful.
Good.
Thank Perfect. You, and thank you for the story today. Please, would you all contact ANZ? Here is James's address up on screen, and here is the head of ANZ. And we are going to ask him, both of them, to contact Nick. And Nick, if I wanted to put up an address for you, what would it be? Is there an email address that James and the head of ANZ can contact you on, or what's your best contact?
Yeah, absolutely. So best contact for me is nick@freedomfinancial.co.nz, or you can visit our website is mortgagebrokerauckland.co.nz.
Great. So please, with the head of the ANZ and James, what's his surname?
Mr. James Willis.
Willis. James Willis. Please, would you contact Nick and issue him with an apology and also an adjustment for all the monies that he had to spend for the ridiculous things that were pursued by James. I think it'll be really interesting to get public support for this.
Yeah, definitely will, because it's not about me. I'm just doing it, right? So,
absolutely.
And hopefully setting a standard for you know, the future. So, I mean, if we can fill these positions in the lenders and customer services roles specifically with customer service focused people, it's just so much smoother.
That's it. And that's the thing, New Zealand, when you then go to your bank because you're being bullied, you can quote, oh, have you seen this video? Have you seen that this bank had to back down and offer an apology because they behaved like you are? And the bank that you have that tries to bully you will then potentially back down. This is how we'll do it, New Zealand. We have to fight back case by case on some of this bullying and the, what I call, Nick, the faceless bureaucrats that persecute us, and it must stop.
Well, that's the thing, is you can sit behind a keyboard, right? But, you know, refusing face-to-face meetings, that's that's how business is done too, right? Like face-to-face. I know today it's not, post-COVID especially, you know, Zoom and telephones and stuff.
I don't buy
stuff,
it. But I want face-to-face. I'm going to pick one that gives me face-to-face.
Yeah. If you're transacting large business and things like that, you want to be face-to-face with a person, and refusing to meet people, I mean, that's just cowardice.
Powered. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everybody. Please write in. This is really important. We all get behind our latest whistleblower. And thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much for having me.